I hope you were able to attend and listen to the lessons we had last week. Through the week, Sunday, two lessons, and then a lesson Monday and Tuesday night with Rick Swinford up from Lubbock, Texas. If you were not able to hear the lessons, I strongly encourage you. They are available online, both video and now audio. The audios, are, believe it or not, it's harder to get an audio file on the website than it is to get a video file on there. The video happens almost automatically, but Brady went and worked ahead and fast and got all four lessons up. So they're all available. Yeah, if you'd like to download them or listen to them streaming, they're worthwhile. They're worthwhile. Chris was very practical and very personal, so that you can listen and be challenged and encouraged. We just read in Romans 8, we just read about suffering and groaning. But taking the suffering and groaning in perspective, Romans 8, 18, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is revealed to us." Verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pain of childbirth. And not only this, but we also ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves." Anybody groaned here lately? And I don't mean just because Robert stood up to start talking. And you go, oh, no. How long is he going to talk now? The older I get, the more I groan standing up and sitting down. But we do groan. We do have anguish in ourselves. We do have things that come up against our lives and crash against our plans and undercut our work. From the little things. The boys and I built a shed in our backyard, not last summer, the summer before. Well, last winter, we had a windstorm, and I cut down all the trees. The wind comes from this angle. I cut down all the trees that would have potentially crashed against that new shed. And we had a windstorm last summer, and the tree came from this direction and took out the back half of the roof of the new shed. And so you look at that and you go, oh, okay, we got to rebuild some. That's a little thing. That's really a little thing compared to the serious groans of life. But we do have anguish and we do groan. But that's not where that verse ends. That verse doesn't end in the groaning. That verse ends with the idea of hope. Verse 24, "For in hope we are saved." Verse 18 tells us that the sufferings aren't comparable to the glory. The suffering isn't comparable to the glory. We hope for the better things that God has put in front of us. Hope is so powerful. Hope is so basic. Hope is so significant that we all reach for it. Even if we pump ourselves up in kind of empty hope, we all reach for it. I remember taking threat classes in Germany. I was in the military, and we were assigned to Germany. I can tell you something now because it's all changed, but this was classified in the 1980s. You want some secret information? The secret information is that my unit was in something called the covering force. And the covering force is the force between the friendly front lines, and the enemy. We called ourselves a speed bump. Because our job was to blunt and slow down the enemy. Now, the enemy in those days was the Soviet Union. And they had a rolling artillery barrage that they would bring upon us. And their plan was is that they would continually bring layer after layer of artillery fire by hundreds and thousands of artillery tubes. So they would bring this rolling barrage of artillery, chemical weapons, explosive weapons, and then bring their waves of armored vehicles, their tanks, nonstop. They didn't care about how much success they had. They didn't care about their soldiers. They didn't care about protecting their units. They were going to bring them nonstop. And so we would go and have these briefings about what was coming up against us. And you would get these training films of what the Russian attack would look like and the Russians training. And we would get this was the Soviet Union. I shouldn't say Russian because they were Soviet plans. And we would get these explanations, and it was so overwhelming. The soldiers in our units would stick up their hands to ask questions of the one doing the briefing, and the questions always came from the same direction. It was always, what do we have? What can we do about this? And the reality of is a covering force, there's not much you can do about it. You can fight as hard as you can for as long as you survive, and you hope that the main forces are able to blunt and stop the attack. I remember coming home from one of those one week and sitting down with my young wife, and I said, I'll tell you this once and only once. I just want you to know about it. I want you to know the reality is that if we go to war while I'm over here, I won't be coming home. I just want you to know that. That's okay. In Christ, I have no worries. But I won't be coming home. Our soldiers would get angry at those briefings. And they would leave them and start discussions back in our units. And it would take some of the next several days to reassure that, in fact, we did have the possibility of response. We did have capable and powerful units and able to stop that kind of constant attack. But a soldier wants something to hope for, just like the rest of us. A minister I heard speaking once talked about him going from camp to camp to camp to camp to hospital to camp in Vietnam. A whole lot different than what I was facing because those guys were in war. And he said, in every place I went, the need was the same. Every place, everybody I talked to, the desire was the same. They all wanted hope. They all wanted hope. Give me something to hope for. Give me something to hope in. Ephesians chapter 2. Gives us a rather bleak picture. Ephesians chapter 2, a bleak picture of our own past. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. Remember when? Remember when you were separate from Christ? Excluded from the commonwealth of Israel? Strangers to the covenant of the promise? Do you remember those days? Before you were in Christ, and then he describes our condition, having no hope and without God. You were in the world, but had no hope. There is a condition of no hope. There is a condition of hopelessness. No, not too many people face it. In fact, it's only the atheist that truly grabs onto it. But even in their lives, they look for something to hope for. The atheist has created for themselves a scenario where there's no morality. There's nothing on which you can base an objective moral standard. Morality is whatever we say about it this week. There's no objective, stable morality. There's no purpose And finally, there's no hope. There's nothing to rely on. There's no purpose for our existence. We are but an accident. So it's only the atheist who truly embraces the concept of no hope. And if they really thought about it, I think they would get away from that as fast as they could. Imagine that, truly claiming that there is no hope. There's nothing good. There's nothing to rely on. There's nothing to rejoice in. Every bit of happiness you can find is a temporary lie of fluff. And we'd say, I don't want that. I don't want that kind of thing. Tell me something. Like the soldiers in the threat briefing, I don't want that kind of conclusion. What do we do about it? Give me something I can hope in. You see, there's such a natural desire for good and hope in man. It screams to the truth of our Creator. God has put in us a love of love, a desire for hope, a knowledge that there is good. There are good things, and I want to hold on to some of them. I know when I hold my little child in my lap, I know there's good as that little one snuggles up against me. Don't tell me there's not love. Don't tell me there's not good. And out of that, don't tell me there's no hope. Don't tell me there's no hope. There is hope, isn't there? Yes, there's hope. Psalm 130, please. Your cries of anguish, your pain, whatever it's from, it could be from you and your family facing cancer. It could be from you and your family facing the loss of a loved one. It could be a total loss of financial security. It could be an inner crumbling of confidence or clear thinking or self-doubt that crushes you on the inside, despair and depression. But there is real, true, solid, sure hope. Psalm 130. Listen to the beginning of this. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. In his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is loving kindness. With him there is abundant redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. There is real, solid hope. And even for the atheist, Paul says in his speech in Acts that God is not far from any one of us. So you can tell even the one who rejects the very existence of God, if you will acknowledge God and reach out for Christ, he's right there. And even there, even when someone says there is no God, if he'll simply change his faith or his mind to create faith or embrace the Lord's faith, he'll have real hope. So there's no place where hope can't be reached, but there truly are many places for most people where they're standing without hope. There was a young man this past week who got to the point of no hope. His name was Kenneth Robinson. Kenneth Robinson, early last week, was pulled over for a traffic stop, a routine traffic stop. He was a 24-year-old young man, lived in Anchorage. And Officer Mills, 12-year veteran of the Anchorage Police Department, came up to engage him in the traffic stop, and he shot her twice She's recovering from her wounds. He thought she was stopping him because of some violence that he had participated in, and maybe a robbery. The police aren't entirely sure. So Officer Mills is recovering now, but Kenneth Robinson was engaged by the police, I think it was the next day, and he took his own life rather than be arrested. You see, he'd spent most of his adult life already in prison and had just gotten out. And I guess he had gotten back into his own old behavior and got to that point where he thought he had no hope. And he couldn't stand the thought. Hope is always within reach. Hope is always out there, but it's only found with God in Christ. And the pattern for it, just like we read in Psalm 130, is in His Word. The idea of how do we engage solid, sure hope is in His Word. You should know that the ideas of faithlessness are truly ideas that undercut even hope itself. But they're sound, sure hope. People set up things for them to hope in. People hope in, if you asked an atheist, I don't know, probably every atheist would give his own answer. But if you ask most atheists, what do they hope in? They would probably give you some sort of answer. It might be, I hope in myself. I know where I have hope. It's in me. I hope in my success. Or I hope in some sort of accomplishment in my life. In Psalm, 33. In verse 13, the Lord looks from heaven and sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all. He who understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. The warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. You see, there are a lot of false hopes out there. All of the temporary things. It's interesting that atheism provides, or the humanism of the world provides, such an emptiness. But yet they embrace the value of and the importance of life and of human life. Well, where does the value of life come from if there's no God? What value is it even in life if there's no God? It's a bit like the philosopher's description of the purposelessness of life. Philosophers always run into these things, and there's the description of the man rolling the stone up the hill, and he pushes and he struggles in the mythology of the story, and he pushes and he pushes and he pushes. To get the stone up to the top of the hill, and when he lets go of it, it goes crashing down to the bottom again. This was his punishment in the mythological story, and he had to go down to the bottom of the hill and push it up again. And the philosopher, the atheist, would say, yes, I know that's what life is, but just maybe one of those times where you push it up the hill, you'll find a good reason for pushing it up the hill. That's hopelessness. That's true hopelessness. You see, hope with God is not a weak and shallow endeavor. Hope with God is joyous and glorious and sound and sure. It's the one place where you place your hope, and the deeper you dig, the more sure it is. And the more you grow in it, in the knowledge of it, the more sound it is. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 4, if you have some time, is a beautiful description of Abraham's hope. Abraham, who hoped against hope, is what it says in 4, verse 18. For the fulfillment of God's promise. But look in Romans 5. Romans 5. Starting in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. We exult in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. You can finish the lesson by going back to Romans 8. The mirror images between Romans 5 of we exult in our troubles, our tribulations. Trouble brings about growth, perseverance. Perseverance brings about character. And character brings hope. Sound, sure. Not some wishful thinking, but sure hope. Knowledge that in Christ we will be glorified. Knowledge that in God we have purpose. Knowledge that walking with Him we have a future. Hope brings us to moral living because we know His Word. Hope brings us to fulfillment because we walk in His way. Hope brings us to confidence because we see in Christ victory over even death. Great purposeness. 1 Corinthians 13 brings about the culmination of three things which last. From this perspective. Verse 13. Now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Love even beats faith. I love that. I think it's awesome. If you go back to the lessons that Chris taught us from last Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, most of his lessons settled on the idea of joining God in His love, participating in His love, growing in faith. And when you grow in faith and walk as people, as disciples of Christ, loving one another, hope grows. Sureness and confidence grows. Faith lasts. Love lasts. And hope in Christ. While we're in Christ, hope is confident and it lasts. Last verse, Hebrews 16, verse 19. This hope we have is an anchor to the soul. Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have is an anchor for the soul. A hope both sure and steadfast. And one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner of us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. A solid, sure, confident place to be, an anchor for the soul, is the hope found in Christ. This morning, if there's any here who have not chosen to be baptized into Christ, if your faith hasn't brought about an obedience to the Word, please come forward or tap one of us on the shoulder or set up a Bible study with us. If you're ready to be baptized this morning, we're ready to participate with that and help you do that this morning. If you need a continuation of your understanding of what it means to be in Christ and to walk in Christ, please don't let today go by without at least starting that. We all need hope, and God provides real hope. Whatever your need is, please come forward and let us know about it while we stand to sing the song of David's selected.